All right, I'd like to call this meeting to order for the Goleta Planning Commission for today, December 14th, 2015. If you'd all join me in a Pledge of Allegiance first, I'd appreciate it.
I'll stand over here with you, Ed.
Ready, begin?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. So let's start off with our roll call, please.
Thank you. Commissioner Daniels?
Present.
Commissioner Fuller?
Present.
Commissioner Maynard?
Present.
Vice Chair Jenkins?
Here.
Chair Onan?
Here.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to go right into the public forum, and I do have several speakers here this evening, and some of you have specifically requested to speak on the item C2. We're going to go ahead and allow you to speak right away at the beginning of the meeting, and then, of course, you're welcome to stay and listen to the director's report, but that's where some discussion or the report will take place. But if not, you're also welcome to move on to your next thing. So I'm going to call off our first speaker and then the speaker right behind them, if you could be ready for that. So I have Lindsay Baker, followed by Lindsay Baker. So Lindsay, I'm only going to give you one shot at this, but is that all right? Or do you have two different items?
I have two different items.
Well, can you speak to both of them at one time? All right.
Yes.
Please go ahead.
Good evening. I'm Lindsay Baker, co-president of the League of Women Voters for Program and Action. I want to speak to you tonight about the amortization study for the Elwood Onshore Facility. The League has long followed the starts and stops of the investigation, first by the county and then by the city, of the possible termination of this old non-conforming industrial site. We were pleased with the council's decision last year to move ahead on this matter, but now we are wondering why the update of the study has not been released and hearings scheduled. We request that the study be made available as soon as possible and that the city then proceed with application of the termination ordinance. Thank you for your attention to this matter. The next item is the League has been astonished that the state would consider putting a project storing many hazardous materials with intensive vehicle traffic 400 feet from an elementary school. The use of sirens and alarms and the pollution created will all impact the school. In addition, an assisted living residence is approved for the lot immediately adjoining the station, which means that seniors as well as school children will be trying to walk in this area in all directions. This neighborhood is entirely residential, and such an intensive industrial project should not be sited there or here. The Goleta Water District in April reported that there is no active service connection on this property, and no new ones can be granted during the drought. We think that the EIR should have fully explored every other potential site so that this very important facility can be located in a more appropriate location. The League feels that the above ground fuel tanks and all the oils and solvents that will be needed on the site would be very hazardous to the public school and to the residents living around the station. The use of the generator, strong lighting, regular alarms, and the 148-foot communications tower would be disruptive in any residential neighborhood. The League of Women Voters asks that a new site be chosen for this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, our next speaker will be Robert Miller, if I got the first name correct. Okay, and then our last speaker, Dr. Ingeborg Cox.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you this evening. Again, my name is Robert Miller. I live in the Hideaway, which is located directly across the street from where the state wants to build this site. I represent myself as well as the West Side Goleta Coalition. The West Side Goleta Coalition was formed in May to oppose the state's proposal to build a new CHP station in our midst. It's comprised of hundreds of persons in the community from neighborhoods throughout western Goleta. Over 500 people have come together to ask the state to build in a more appropriate site. More than 150 of them showed up at a hearing put on by the state last Tuesday at the Goleta Valley Community Center. Over 35 people spoke against the state's proposal. No one spoke in favor. And I might add, those who were there speaking against it were vocal, enthusiastic, and determined to stop what the state proposes to do. We urge that the city of Goleta tell the state it opposes use of 7780 Hollister for a new CHP station. We urge the city to tell the state it is ready, willing, and able to help it find a more appropriate site. It's not just the Westside Goleta Coalition raising serious concerns. A number of organizations have indicated their opposition, including the League of Conservation Voters here this evening. The Goleta Valley School District sent a letter to the state expressing serious concerns. Parents of school children at Elwood Elementary School are particularly concerned and have voiced strong concerns. The environmental community in Goleta has raised strong concerns. We simply can't believe the state would build a new facility in such an inappropriate location. We're astounded the state would even consider building a CHP station in the middle of several peaceful, quiet neighborhoods. We're not aware of any current or future CHP station located as close as 500 feet to an elementary school. Not aware of any current or future CHP station located across the street from a nature preserve and a butterfly preserve. Not aware of any such CHP facility located in any remotely similar location in the state. And we are determined to convince the state to build elsewhere, but we need the city's help. There are many significant impacts, some of them identified by the speaker prior to me, including the 148-foot communication tower, 12,000-gallon above-ground oil tanks, fuel tanks, 55-gallon oil drums, destruction of all the existing vegetation and trees on the site, unevaluated adverse impact on adjacent wetland, local wildlife, unbelievable visual blight, increased traffic, noise from siren tests as 18 patrol cars leave for duty three times a day, presence of large buses and trucks. We're not against the CHP, obviously. They need a good facility. We think they haven't adequately evaluated renovating the current site, and we are absolutely convinced that they haven't adequately considered other sites that the state itself has identified. I don't have time tonight to go into all of those sites and the reasons why they are all appropriate, but one I would mention is, as far as we know, they all have water connections. The site that they are focused on at 7780 Hollister does not have a water connection, although the state indicates that they may use state authority to condemn the water, an act which we find to be particularly odious under the current circumstances with the moratorium in existence. I would add that we would urge the city to offer the state to work with them to find alternative sites. We think the city has an ideal property. It's a triangular site located right outside our door here between Los Caneros and Los Caneros Way that's owned by the city. We understand it does not have a water connection, which makes it a problem just as it does at 7780 Hollister. However, the city has indicated it would like to see both sites used for retail to serve existing and proposed residents in those areas. But I would submit that since neither site has water, they should at least focus on a site that would be more appropriate. The site out here would not be placed in the middle of residential neighborhoods next to a nature preserve and next to an elementary school.
Mr. Miller?
Yes.
So I'll ask you to wrap up.
Okay, thank you.
We normally go about 3 minutes.
Thank you.
I don't want to miss anything.
Okay.
But,
I'm close to wrapping up. But
okay.
In fact, I will just tell you that I provided the clerk a copy of the comments or outline for the comments I presented to the state at the hearing on Tuesday. So for your additional consideration, I submit those comments. And I thank you for the time this evening.
All right, Dr. Ingeborg Cox.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Dr. Ingeborg Cox. I have lived in Goleta for over 33 years. The notice of preparation for the CHP project dated April of 8 of 2015 stated erroneously that the 5.71-acre parcel had been acquired by the Department of General Services to build the CHP here. It appears that to this date, this parcel is still under the family trust of John and Norma Del Vice, according to the assessor's office. I called them today. It appears to me that if the state has not purchased the property yet, doesn't the city of Goleta have a say of what can happen in this property with no water, with no current water connection? In the draft EIR under hazardous materials, it is mentioned that there is an abandoned well at the southwest corner of the site that was associated with oil and gas exploration. They said also in the report, abandoned oil and gas wells present a chance of unknown leakage of methane, hydrocarbons and other gases or fluids. I want to remind you of the incident in the Fairfax area in Los Angeles where a Ross for Less store exploded because it was constructed near a former abandoned oil well in the mid-80s. Numerous hazardous materials are going to be placed and stored in this property, which is near sensitive receptors. That means children and the elderly, the children of Elwood Elementary School and the future residents of Mariposa. 12,000 gallons tank of gasoline above ground, 240 gallons of waste oil tank, flares and ammunitions and more. What would you do if your child is at Elwood or your elder relative will live at Mariposa? Just think about this. On page 5-2 of the draft EIR, it states, in addition, various gasoline-related toxic air contaminants would be emitted by the refueling station and vehicles idling in the parking lots. The exposures are toluene, benzene, 1,3-butadiene, acrolein, and xylenes. Also, why is the draft EIR utilizing a 1997 risk assessment guideline for the refueling pump station? In my opinion, this is not a site to place a refueling station, an automotive replay shop, and a communication tower that will create new sources of EMFs and also glare. On Las Armas Road, you already have a site of EMFs from the NGR picking facility. The communication towers will be another site. The city of Goleta needs to ask what the combining effect of EMFs would do to the sensitive receptors near this facility. Please think about that if you would be living either in the highway area specifically. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank all of you for coming to the commission today and sharing your concerns. All right, so we will move on to amendments or adjustments to the agenda. Do we have any changes?
No, we do not.
All right, so administrative item number A1. I don't know if we need to have that item read, but it's please read the item for us.
Number one is the Planning Commission minutes for the Planning Commission meeting of October 12th, 2015.
All right, so we did receive minutes in our packets, and I know it's been a little while since that meeting, and Mr. Daniels wasn't here. So, Mr. Daniels, you do not have to jump in on this one, but would anybody like to make any adjustments to those minutes or a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Second. Any other discussion? If not, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Mr. Daniels, do you say aye or are you abstaining?
I'm abstaining, thank you.
Okay, for the record, thank you. All right, so we go right into item B1. If we could get that item read into the record, please.
Thank you. Item B1 is a discussion item of the 2016 Planning Commission meeting schedule.
Thank you.
Okay.
So who will be, Ms. Pressy, will you be?
I will.
Please go.
This one is our annual housekeeping item of looking forward to next year's calendar with the, you know, our meeting dates, which are the second and fourth Monday of each month. Mm-hmm. Looking at the calendar, we've identified that we have three potential conflicts and a fourth one that the city council has given us. And they all happen in the latter part of 2016. So there's nothing until October where we potentially have a conflict or holidays that the commission might want to consider. The first holiday, I'll just go calendar-wise. The first one would be Columbus Day. We typically have not canceled for that meeting. It is a holiday for some. It is not a city holiday, so that's one date that we would like you to, you know, consider mm-hmm. what you would like to do. We have, like, actually, the minutes you just adopted were on, a meeting on Columbus Day. Then the month of November gets a little interesting. Our meeting would have been on the 14th of November, our first meeting of the month mm-hmm. for November. City Council has canceled their meeting of the 15th and moved their meeting to the 14th. So that date is no longer available for us to meet on. And then the one holiday, while the 28th is not a holiday, it is the Monday following Thanksgiving weekend. We do not believe that could be problematic for people, mm-hmm. Whether community members and or the commissioners who might have been out of town for the holiday. One, either traveling back, or two, it's a Thanksgiving holiday weekend. People usually are not engaged in thinking about city business mm-hmm. right away. And then the fourth date is December 26th, which is, the week of Christmas. So mm-hmm. those are the dates that we have conflicts. The big question is, what do you want to do about November? if you want to, cancel, well, obviously the 14th is a date we will need to cancel, but open to leaving it as is, not having meetings, canceling the meetings of November, and then as items might come available or a need arises, we can look for a date. I mean, it is kind of hard to project out almost a year what our needs might be. So up to you, and open for discussion of what you would like to do.
Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to speak to something.
Sure. Go ahead, Mr. Daniels.
As you may know, I have always queried the Columbus Day as being problematic. You have given me plenty of information on that issue at this point, and I don't need to have it be one that we, have to be concerned about that anymore, if that's okay.
Let's zoom in on that, as long as Commissioner Daniels brought it up. Any other comments or suggestions on Columbus Day, October 10th? As was stated before, we did have a meeting this year.
Mm-hmm.
Went okay with me.
All right, so it looks like we have consensus that the 10th of October is fine. So we move into November, which would, if we accepted both of these as cancellations, we obviously have to accept the 14th because City Council will be here. And the challenge for staff on that one would be, obviously, if we were in that same week, they're preparing a couple of packets should there be something. But looking at the calendar in front of me, the next week after that is the Thanksgiving week.
Is there an option of us switching to first and third for that month? Or I don't know how much flexibility we have with our own schedule.
With proper notice, I think we have the ability to be flexible with it. But The first Tuesday is the 8th, or first Monday is the 7th, I'm sorry. I would think we should try to find a tentatively scheduled time for November. If everyone's in agreement, the 28th, the Monday after Thanksgiving, again, you know, looking at preparation of packet and those kind of things would make it a little more difficult for us to meet on the 28th and holiday issues. Yes, Mr. Fuller.
Chair, I just wanted to second Katie's suggestion. I think that's a really great idea. Yeah, the 7th and the 21st, you know, if it works with staff, would still allow us to have two meetings and be off schedule the holidays, and I think the city council too, would it?
We would need to actually evaluate any potential November dates to make sure that we'd have room availability. There are a number of other meetings that happen in the evening, and we're not really sure yet what their schedules are going to be for November.
But given the inability to do that, if it's either these dates or not, I don't think we, you know, I think we'll be taking November off.
Right. We could always bring back the schedule for an amendment after we check the November schedules for other commissions and make sure there's availability.
So anybody have any other comments? So it looks like we're kind of pitching back to staff here to look at least planning one alternative, maybe two alternative dates for November, to just have them on the calendar, obviously, depending on need for activity. We all in consensus with that?
I do have one other comment on the schedule, which I don't think will result in any schedule change, but I did want to note that June 27th will be a date that I won't be able to be at the commission meeting. One of the jobs in my day job is to organize a statewide conference, and that's the first day of our conference. So that's unfortunately one I can't miss for my work.
Okay, we'll make sure nothing important is happening.
Thank you.
Okay. Does staff have a direction so far then on November?
Yes.
Okay, so we got good direction on November. We've got one more month to deal with, December. And that is the day after Christmas. So that's Boxing Day, if you happen to be Canadian or English. Here it's just a shopping day. But I would agree that we should probably not try to schedule anything on that day. Any other suggestions or recommendations?
Yeah, can I second that? If it's a motion?
It wasn't a motion, but I appreciate the second. So we're in consensus that we agree that.
And we've gotten enough direction that we can work out a schedule, and we will check on those dates if there are any conflicts. If there are not conflicts with the 7th and the 21st, we'll go ahead and put those on the calendar as tentative dates.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Thank you.
All right, so discussion item B1. We've gone through that already.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to move right into the director's report.
Okay. And just for those who are here, I just want to note the director's report is usually just an update on items. There is no substantial discussion. Sometimes the commission asks questions, but no action is taken. So I know you might have thought there was something more. That's why we had you speak at the beginning of the meeting. To start, I just wanted to make sure everyone has a copy of their zoning ordinance.
Yes.
This is your light holiday reading.
Yes.
For the holidays. For the public, it comes in three sections. You have the zoning ordinance itself, the apples to oranges comparison table that folks wanted developed to show what was happening from the old ordinance to the new, and a general plan policy implementation checklist that goes along with it as well. We will be, and Ann Wells is here, a project manager who can speak more to this if you have questions. We plan on using your Planning Commission meetings starting in January for this item. We will be going through it section by section. And while some of you have expressed concern that we have been having a lack of items for action, this is what the benefit is of not having those items right now, because things have slowed down a little bit, is you have ample time at every meeting to discuss zoning ordinance issues. We will be developing a schedule for you so you know how we're going through the document section by section. We can also, as things get started, if there are subject areas that you'd rather talk about rather than section by section, we can also do that as well. but we anticipate going through the entire document with you. And then in addition to other public workshops and individual group meetings as are being requested over our hotline, and then coming to you for a recommendation for council. So, you know, you thought you've had it easy this year. Yeah. Unfortunately, it got all saved up, and we're going to be doing this and starting in 2016.
So if I could just ask a question on
absolutely.
That. So, Director, we have a couple of our folks who didn't enjoy the initial round of going through the consultant-led workshops. Is there an opportunity, or would it be appropriate to give our two new commissioners some opportunity with staff?
Absolutely.
To do that so that, you know, the idea would be hopefully that you can get some of the fundamental questions answered to your, so you can build your understanding. I'm not suggesting that we shouldn't, but obviously we can only meet with staff at a maximum of two at a time.
Correct.
So there is a limitation on it. And I think generally speaking, in our work on the zoning ordinance, we'll want to be very well read for the sections that we're going through. Mm-hmm. And going to staff either in a little workshop type thing or one-on-one to do our best to understand the issues before us so that when we're in the this in our meetings, we can be discussing as much as possible where we see challenges or issues rather than trying to build our understanding as we go. Mm-hmm. And we went through that in the earlier stages of it and really was a building your understanding as we went along. Mm-hmm. So I think if we can really move the process forward by being better prepared or more prepared for this round on the zoning ordinance. Ms. Wells, do you have an idea how long we'll be working on that? I mean, just in, I know you don't have specific dates. But.
Well, as Ms. Carmen said, that we will be starting on January 11th meeting with you, so there'll be discussion action items with a staff report so the public will be aware of what we're going to be talking about and can comment on that. But we will have a, it'll be a series of meetings, as many as we need to have a robust discussion. But we'll also have other outreach opportunities with open houses for the public, and then the stakeholder meetings that we're scheduling. And I think what you're saying is the Planning Commission is sort of a stakeholder separately, and that we could schedule meetings with you as we are with other groups in our community to talk about, you know, specific targeted issues or the process or whatever it might be, that whatever questions that you might have.
Could I ask that if our first meeting is January 11th on this subject, it would be very beneficial for us to know what sections we're going to intend to address in that first round in advance of this, our normal notification, you know, the Thursday or whatever before. So that way we have some additional time to focus in on that and that we have an opportunity to get back to staff.
So when we return from the break and start the new year, we'll be doing press release and we'll be doing mailers so that people will have postcards that they can put on their refrigerators or whatever it might be that lays out the public outreach process so people can plan. And we'll kind of guide a little bit of the content as much as we can in a card so that people can see how it's going to unfold and they can plan for that in the big picture. And then, of course, we'll do our staff reports and release them as early as possible. We are using our website, GledaZoning.com, and that will be a tool that we'll continue to use to get the news out to people. So I think you will have ample notice about how we're going to unfold the discussion with you, probably starting more at the beginning and then working our way through it using the user guide as a tool.
All right. Commissioner Fuller?
Yeah. So you're going to have public workshops?
I do.
In addition to the Planning Commission meetings, absolutely.
Right. So I'm hoping to attend those if at all possible.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
As those move forward, if the Commission could let us know who plans to be there, we can make sure it's noticed properly if more than two of you are going to attend those general workshops.
Got it.
And there will be quite a few. So
great.
We're really looking forward to this process. There's been a tremendous amount of work done on this by Anne and her team. Actually, all of the planning department has participated in this in one way or another. And we're looking forward to hearing the comments from the community because this is the community's document. And we want to make sure it works for folks. It's going to be a very exciting time starting in 2016. We're looking forward to it.
And if I can add the plan or the ordinance and then all the materials that Ms. Carmen listed out are available on the website, and it's searchable, so the files are searchable mm-hmm. for and downloadable. And then you can also buy a hard copy at the counter, or you can come into City Hall and borrow a copy and sit down and review it. The table, the comparison table, the apples and oranges table, we have that printed out so for free so people can come and pick it up because it's a little bit difficult to print out on your own. We wanted to make sure, since there was a high demand from the public for that material, so that is at our counter. People can just walk in and just pick it right up off the table for mm-hmm. free. So I wanted to make sure that you knew about all of that. And then one other thing, and it's on our website. Mm-hmm. It's an 800-page table. It's searchable. And it's every APN in the city and at address and your zone district. Mm-hmm. So you can search through it to see what would the zoning be if this was adopted. That's so great. That people can be very clear. So we want to be as clear as possible and make things as user-friendly as possible. And if anybody has any questions about mm-hmm. what their zoning might be, they should call. They can call, all of the planners can answer any questions about what zone districts might be applicable to them.
And I'd also just like to note in regards to that, all of the zoning changes are being made or proposed in this document to match the general plan land use map. It's very important to know we're not planning any sort of out or proposing any sort of outliers from the general plan land use map. Everything is based on the general plan and moves forward from that for this ordinance text as well, not just zoning. So
it sounds like great preparation and great outreach for the community. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions right now? We will be meeting with other boards and commissions on items of interest, including our design review board. And we'll have workshops with them as well, just like we will at your meeting. So and I think there may be other commissions as well who are interested in talking about different portions of the document. So Highway Patrol, I was going to give you an update of the meeting, but Mr. Miller did a wonderful job and gave you an update of the environmental hearing that was held on Tuesday. The City Council will be providing an opportunity at the beginning of tomorrow's evening session for the public to come and express their concern or comments on this project. Mm-hmm. The city's in a very interesting conundrum with this because of the state being able to supersede our local land use law. And so we're trying to work with them as we can. We are generating a comment letter on the environmental report or the EIR. Significant. That's being prepared by Ms. Prossy. And hopefully, our comments will be responded to properly in the final, and we will continue to move forward and work with them as their project continues. And it was really wonderful to see such a large turnout, and the space was actually planned for really well to accommodate all of those individuals. We haven't had that sometimes with some of the state projects at the community center, so it was nice to see.
Sure.
Please.
Yeah, if I may. Is that letter going to have a recommendation that they find an alternative site?
It's a comment letter on the environmental.
Right, but the environmental also reviews alternative sites.
Correct.
And so it wouldn't be out of place necessarily to suggest that they actually use one of those alternative sites.
Well, it's interesting because the environmental impact report identifies a different site as the environmentally superior alternative.
I'm aware.
Yeah, and so our comment letter will more than likely discuss that fact.
Great, thank you.
Yeah. I wanted to go over a little bit of the economic development activities. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I just had one more in the Highway Patrol project. So I know the Planning Commission developed some comments that went into the initial letter that went to the mm-hmm. CHP. Should we be also commenting on this or giving guidance for that comments letter in the way that we did the last round?
If you would like to provide individual comments to Ms. Prossy, she can include them, but not as a formal letter. We will be having the overall comment letter reviewed by our city manager and our legal team.
Okay. Thank you.
Economic development. So I know there's been some frustration in the fact that we haven't had as many projects coming to the commission, and that's mostly because we've had a lot of building going on. We have a lot of things underway, a lot of projects getting ready to break ground. And we do have some items going, one particularly going tomorrow night to council, which is a parking item for Old Town. It is it's sort of an experiment to do the first general parking lot in Old Town. They're looking at using a portion of Community West Bank. And so that will be a discussion on tomorrow night's agenda. We have a number of things that you may have heard about in the media, but I just want to cover them. Sprouts, it will be going in at the former Hagen site in Calle Real. They won the auction, the bankruptcy auction for that site. We have not seen any details yet on what they're planning, but we do know that they have obtained that property, or the business, I should say. We do have a lot of new businesses signing leases at Westar, or Hollister Village. We will always be calling it Westar. We do know there's three new restaurants that have indicated they've signed leases. One of them is already in to building for tenant improvements. That is Dickie's Barbecue. We also have Wahoo Fish Tacos, Snow Crave, which is a Taiwanese tea house that's actually very common up north, and there's a couple in Orange County. And it's very interesting. My friends like that place. But there's a website. If you look at Hollister Village Leasing, there will be a website that shows every new business that's going in to the site, if you're curious. Restaurants.com does get updated every so often with that information as new businesses have signed leases. Also, Pickles and Swiss, which is a sandwich restaurant or sandwich place on State Street, they will also be opening an outlet in Hollister Village. Jane's and Pascucci's has continued to move forward. Anyone who goes to Camino Real Marketplace can see the progress that they're making. I understand they are anticipating opening early next year. I've heard February-ish. It could be earlier, it could be a little bit later. So that's moving forward. Those are the new businesses that I know about that are sort of, woo, hey, we've got new stuff coming. So everyone's excited to see what does come in. Hollister Village has a lot of space left, in addition to the businesses that we've already heard about going in, Zizzo's, PetSmart, PetSmart. And we'll continue to update as we hear more. So we have one, or does anyone have any questions?
Well, you talked about Zizzo. Where's that going?
Zizzo's will be taking, it's in the smart and final section. In the original plans, there was a drive-through for a drugstore planned. They have eliminated that drive-through, and they will be taking that edge building in that. So right where it curves around and connects with the main driveway, they will be in that section.
So can I just ask the question then, and we're talking about a driveway for Zizzo?
There will not be a drive through. They got rid of it.
Oh, okay.
But Zizzo's is also staying
right
on store.
This is an expansion.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understood. Okay, just wondering.
I have two questions about projects that weren't on the director's report, but they're for the director. So can I ask them now,
sure,
or should I do that during planning commission comments?
No, you can now.
Okay. So one was in public comment. There was a mention of the Elwood onshore facility, and I was curious if you could give us an update on that.
Actually, the last item in the director's report, Ms. Wells can give you a brief update on where we are with that.
Okay, wonderful. And then the other one is that I know we got the documents for the Shelby General Plan amendment, and I just wanted to know when you think that might be coming up on our schedule next year.
In the spring.
In the spring, okay.
Yeah. Thanks. And we will be mindful, knowing that we're going to be doing so much zoning, when we do have a zoning item and a development item, we'll try and make sure there's enough of a split so you're not here till 11.
I appreciate that.
Okay. So unless any more questions, that stuff. I will pass it to Ms. Wells for a quick update on two projects.
Just two?
Well, or how many, however many you'd like. This is oil and gas.
So we have a few items that you'll be considering in 2016. In early 2016, you'll see the Piers 421 that are right below Sandpiper Golf Course that mm-hmm. straddle that intertidal zone next near Haskell's Beach. There's an access road from the Elwood Onshore facility down to the piers, and Veneco needs a permit to be able to do maintenance because that seawall that's holding up the road is continually failing, or at risk of failing, I should say, and needs to be repaired in order for equipment to get down and access the road, both for servicing the piers, because there's a one oil pier and one water injection pier that are protected by caisson walls that in the past they've had to do reconstruction and repairs because they do get kind of beat up by the surf. So that road is critical for many reasons, including emergency response if there was ever an incident. So that mitigated negative declaration, public comment period closed, and then we're working on response to comments, and so you'll be seeing that plus a request for a permit for them to do ongoing maintenance in the near future. Let's see. I wanted to talk just a little bit about the Refugio oil spill and where we're at with that, because it kind of ties into the Elwood Onshore Facility amortization study in an indirect way. So the City Council continues at every meeting to declare a local emergency because a cleanup from the spill is ongoing. We're in phase three. There's different phases. And last week we did the phase three sampling along our coastline, including our beaches. So they take samples at these regular intervals to see if any of the incident oil is still in the system or at our beach. And we don't have the results of that back yet. But the feds still have the All-American pipeline shut in. So now they've extended it up from line 901, which goes to Las Flores Canyon, up through all the way through the system. So our offshore platforms are shut down, and our onshore refineries or processing facilities are also shut down, including the Elwood Onshore facility. Mm-hmm. So we're working on that amortization study, and it's just taking some time. So it will have its day, and the public will be reviewing it. It's just we're taking a little bit of time with that. And back on the Plains spill, the City Council authorized us or directed staff to move forward with participating with the natural resource damage assessment, which is different than the effects of the oil spill process. You will consider the CEQA document and a permit for that project. So what was the impact of the response? The state and the federal government, through the Natural Resource Damage Assessment Process, or NRDA, or some people call it NRDA, they look at ecological impacts and also recreation impacts, and they do it through a very rigorous methodology. If you look at Monarch Press that was just posted, we have a little article about the NRDA process, and it's also on our city events calendar for January 20th. At 7 p.m., there's a public workshop that we're participating in because we signed a confidentiality agreement with the state and federal government so that we can participate with them on this NRDA process to ensure that our beaches and our public access and all of that stuff get repaired as it should. So we'll be participating on that. But that January 20th meeting, 7 p.m., is going to be really important for our public. It's at the Faulkner Library. It's in Santa Barbara downtown. It's a county library. Let's see. You'll also be seeing in 2016 the Elwood Peaker Facility battery storage project. That's an NRG facility. You know where that is. It's over Western Goleta on Hollister, across the street from Sandpiper Golf Course. So that is something you'll see hopefully soon. And if Ms. Carmen wouldn't mind, I wanted to let you know that you had previously, the Planning Commission had previously looked at the coastal hazards vulnerability and fiscal impact study in October. That was the subject of your minutes tonight. The City Council approved that draft document on December 1st, and that enabled staff to move forward with meeting local coastal program, coastal commission grant deadlines for starting to develop some policies related to coastal hazards. So we're doing that with staff. So Chandra Slavin's working directly with Coastal Commission staff using the report as a tool. So that report's posted online, and we are feverishly moving forward with development of policy. So thank you for your input on that. And then you will be seeing these policies eventually as it's laid out in the grant timeline. And then just two other things. The Planning Commission had previously approved the Elwood Trails and Habitat Restoration Project, if you remember that. Mm-hmm. And there has been we have a little bit of a lag time, so we issued a permit. But we're having to develop a packet for Coastal Commission. And so we've been having to do some additional, some engineering studies for the submittal and a few other design, add some more detail on the design. It's not changing the design. It's just showing more detail for the application to the Coastal Commission. But that project will be here. Hopefully we'll be able to put financing together and maybe start something in the next couple of years, I would say. And then if you recall, the Butterfly Habitat Management Plan has been the subject of many Planning Commission meetings, and you'll see it again because we're finishing it. There is a permit that will eventually be considered by the Planning Commission. So we have an environmental document that goes along with it. So you'll see that in 2016 as well. So I just wanted to give you a heads up. It's not all zoning. We have quite a bit of other, besides current planning, there's a lot of environmental projects, some small ones, some big ones, and then also the local coastal program and oil and gas, of course.
Thank you.
So you had mentioned the study for the Elwood Onshore Facility and that it was a bit delayed. Can you give us any sense of what the new timeline is going to be on that project? I know we've got folks from the public that are interested in the timeline here.
Thanks. I don't have a timeline for you, but I should correct the word delayed if I said that. It's just taking longer because there's a lot of detail. Mm-hmm. So that I don't have a timeline for you. Mm-hmm. I wasn't prepared to get a timeline for that. So I apologize for not having a timeline.
It's okay. Thank you for the update. And I know you weren't expecting this on the agenda today. Is it possible that we could get an update on this on the January 11th meeting, maybe as part of the report at the end of the meeting? Just a quick update to say what the timeline might be on that meeting.
Sure.
I'd appreciate that. Thank you.
All right. So does that conclude the director's report?
Yes, it does, unless there are any other questions.
Any other questions? All right, let's move to commissioners' comments. Ms. Maynard, why don't you lead us off if you've got anything?
I don't have any meetings at this point. I'm just very excited to see the community be so engaged in the California Highway Patrol Facility project, and I'm excited to hear that the city is going to be submitting comments. I hope that our comments from the last round when we were initially doing this, those comments are continued into the new letter, because I know we had a number of concerns about that project. And with that, I just wish everyone a happy holiday.
Thank you. Mr. Fuller.
Kind of hard to follow that, but I'll start out wishing everybody a happy holiday.
Good job.
I just want to encourage the community to continue to present their opinions and their positions and information to the state with regards to the Highway Patrol facility. Yes, we do want fully functioning Highway Patrol facility. We're very happy to have it in our neighborhood, in our area, but we don't, I think there's many people who believe that that's the wrong site. It doesn't seem like there's many people who do. So I just wanted to continue, ask the community to continue, as the city itself, I've been told, does not have the opportunity to do more than express an opinion. So thank you for your continued interest in that.
Mr. Daniels?
I think everything's been discussed and spoken about, so I'm good.
Okay. Mr. Jenkins?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to thank staff for really, I haven't gotten into the content of it, but the presentation is really nice. It's and I'm so glad it's not that.
We wanted to make sure it was smaller than our existing.
Yeah. Well, I just appreciate the effort that's gone into that, and also happy holidays.
All right, thank you. I'd like to share a little bit with the commission and with the planning staff. At Santa Barbara Airbus, we turned on our solar array on Friday. And I'm not sure which staff were engaged in it. I purposely was not engaged with the process with the staff, but the folks from Brighton Solar did the project for us. We installed 134 panels. I believe it's a 40 kilowatt. Does that sound right? Size with optimizers and inverters and a bunch of wonderful things. But anyway, it's going to generate about 70% of the power that we use on an ongoing basis. And what I wanted to say to staff was, is that the folks from Brighton Solar were very complimentary of how the process went, of working with the staff and the turnarounds and the information that was exchanged. So congratulations and thank you very much.
It's very good to hear.
Yeah, it's an exciting project. We're happy to get it operating. With that, any other comments? Meeting adjourned. Am I supposed to ask for a moment? To the wall.